It's time to head into the barn. This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn.
In the barn.
Talking horse racing news, events, and a whole lot more. Here's your host, Jason Bean.
All right, and a good Tuesday morning to everybody out there in podcast land. Welcome into the Bet America Radio Network. I'm your host, Jason Bean. And I'm very excited to have you join us today for what should be a great show. We're going to be joined a little bit later on by Ken Rudolph, a longtime TVG personality and a racing media guy who's now the host of Sacramento, Good Day Sacramento up in Sacramento. Ken was one of my favorite guys ever. Now, you might be asking yourself, oh, Jason, why are you having on someone from TVG if you're working for Bet America? Well, because I think sometimes all the, you know, like not talking about other companies and trying to avoid everybody is stupid. And we do way too much of that crap in racing. We've seen it with the Illinois Derby where they don't give, you know, Churchill doesn't give any points to it because they want to, you know, screw their competitor. And I mean, I get it. It's business, but like I've always viewed racing a little bit more as an industry than a business, but you know, to each their own. But Ken doesn't work for TVG anyway, so I don't know. I just thought it would be really fun. I got to meet Ken one time at Hollywood Park, and he just went out of his way to be so cool. He didn't know who I was either. I was just a random guy. I was just walking up next to him. He was at a TV watching the races on a Friday night and just said hello and introduced myself, and I said I was a fan. And he sat there for like 3 or 4 minutes. We talked. We watched the race. And he was just a really, really good dude, and I always enjoyed his work on TVG. He was kind of you know, he was a non-racing guy who was – he kind of took on the role of new guy on TVG. And I think he always played that – because he's a good broadcaster. And so I always thought he kind of played the role of, you know, someone who was being educated right there on the air, as a lot of fans were. And so I always thought Ken did a fantastic job. So I'm looking forward to catching up with him and talking about his career and experience working in horse racing and his time at TVG and the sport back then. Of course, we'll ask him about his famous pick of Giacomo, the 50-1 long shot who won the 2005 Kentucky Derby. Ken, like, there's a great video on YouTube, and you got to find it. Ken, he fell in love with Giacomo early on. I think it was the breeding that he liked about him. But Ken, he touted this horse forever. And everybody told him he was crazy. And then sure enough, the horse wins. He goes nuts. It's on the behind-the-scenes stuff. He goes nuts freaking out about getting the win. And he's all excited. And it's a great video. I watch it every year before the Kentucky Derby just to get pumped up. And when he's screaming, get it, get it, get it. And then what? It's one of the best things out on the YouTube involved in horse racing. So very excited to have Ken Rudolph join us here in a few minutes. We also have a very special guest. We had Senator Bernie Sanders on a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, he gave us his outline about his platform and how it will involve horse racing. And I'm just as pleased to welcome in right now the front-running candidate for the Republican Party, Donald Trump, going to join the show in the second segment here in just a couple of minutes. So really excited to have Donald on and ask him, about some racing questions and what his administration will do. You know, we as racing fans, we need to know what, you know, these folks are going to do when it comes to horse racing. And so with the election, what is it now? It's almost March, so 9 months away. We're going to find out a little bit about what the Donald has to say. I should say Mr. Trump. I should treat him with respect, even though he's a TV personality person. But lots going on in the world of racing. We had Lady Eli, who had her first work back. A lot of people were very excited about that, me included. You know, the horse was literally battling for her life a little while ago, and she's just a magnificent turf filly. So, you know, if she can come back, and I think people will in these situations, and we saw this with Painter a little bit, they expect them to be what they were before something like that. And I just don't know if that's possible or not, especially how good she was as a 2-year-old and then early 3-year-old. And so, but we shall see. But if anything, progress is being made. And that's, you know, kind of the cool thing right now is seeing that progress being made and seeing the first actual workout for Lady Eli. Well, don't forget, with Bet America, Dubai Racing coming up on Thursday. We have a live blog that goes off every Thursday morning along with the races there from Dubai. Free pass performances and tip sheets are available on Wednesday morning. So they'll be available tomorrow morning at betamerica.com/extra for Maidan. And also be sure to check out our Road to the Kentucky Derby promo. Again, we're a few weeks into this now. And with Mo Heyman, we had a lot of folks who got their Kentucky Derby wager if Mo Heyman makes it in the winner's circle. It's a minimum $10 wager and a maximum of 25, but you know, say you put 10 bucks on Mo Heyman and he won, you get 10 bucks on him for the Kentucky Derby Day on a win bet coming up on in the first Saturday in May. And so this weekend's race, the Gotham Stakes from Aqueduct, and we'll certainly have somebody on from New York a little bit later in the week to talk about that race and about the New York Triple Crown, you know, I don't want to say circuit, but the three-year-olds in New York, that's probably the best way to put it. I've kind of been down on the New York three-year-olds, you know, the Wood Memorial and those races in recent years. And it's kind of proven right because they haven't really run much in the Triple Crown Trail, but certainly there's always good racing there to be had. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we get later in the week. So, but we got two interviews, so I want to get going to those. So we're going to go to a quick commercial break for 15 seconds. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Donald Trump, the front running candidate for the Republican Party, to talk a little horse racing. We'll be right back on the other side of this timeout. It's the Bet America Radio Network.
Hello, this is Kayla Straw, and I'm here to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It is the fastest growing legal, safe, and secure website to place all your bets on horse racing. BetAmerica covers over 200 racetracks from North America, the UK, and my home country, Australia. New players to BetAmerica receive 100% bonus on your first deposit up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back to the Bet America Radio Network. And we're so pleased that you have joined us here in the barn, and we are pleased to go out to the phones and welcome in the current front runner for the Republican Party as we go through primary season here. We had Senator Bernie Sanders on a few weeks ago, and we wanted to make a point to offer ideas for racing and in racing for both sides of the aisle, so to speak. So it is my pleasure to welcome in presidential candidate Donald Trump. Donald, how are you?
Jason, it's fantastic to be here on your program. I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, so you listen to our show.
Well, I hate Fox News, MSNBC. CNN is a dumpster fire. I've been pissed off at all the news media and the papers. So that pretty much just leaves horse racing podcasts for me to listen to avoid liberal bias.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear that, but you should know that we at Bet America are based in San Francisco.
Oh, no. Here we go again.
Well, Mr. Trump, I want to ask you some of the questions about racing and how your administration will handle some of these issues.
Jason, shoot. You know Trump. I'll always answer any question.
Mr. Trump, what can we do about high takeout in racing?
Stupid question. Next question.
Your immigration stance could have a serious effect on our sport because many of the people who work in the sport are, in fact, immigrants.
There are two ways to get into the country legally, by going through our immigration process or by marrying me. Those will be the only two ways to get in. And I'll pretty much just be kicking everybody out. The entire Gulfstream jockey colony will be getting the boot, except for Tyler Gaffalio. He can stay.
You know, you mentioned Gulfstream Park, and I know your home residence is in Florida, as well as New York, but you spend a lot of time in Florida. Do you know Mr. Frank Stronach?
Frank and I are great friends. He's a member of seven of my golf clubs, and he's had me to Gulfstream Park many times. It's a nice little place, but I thought he cheaped out a little bit by not making Pegasus out of gold. But I also know Frank's only worth $1 billion, so I suppose he has to cut corners somewhere. But when Donald Trump buys Gulfstream Park, it'll be gold, including the rail. Am I right, Sterling?
Mr. Trump, I want to ask you about some folks in racing and get your opinion on them. These are all, you know, Gulfstream-based folks, so you probably know who they are. First of all, Todd Pletcher.
He's a loser.
A loser? Mr. Trump, he's a 30% trainer and wins the Eclipse almost every year.
If he's winning 30% of the time, what's he doing the other 70% of the time? Losing. If Trump was a trainer, I'd win every race.
Okay, how about Chad Brown?
Another loser. Ken Ramsey horse should be winning at 90% at least. Brown's at what, 26? Loser.
What about Javier Castellano?
He's a fine man and a great jockey who I will never say anything bad about ever.
What about Daily Racing Form's Marty McGee?
Marty is fantastic. In fact, he and I use the same hairstylist and hair products. Marty has a beautiful head of hair just like Tom.
One of the things in the racing industry news lately is the Santa Anita job. Which of the four candidates would you like to see get the position as the full-time race caller at Santa Anita?
Jason, what country am I running for president in?
America.
So clearly I'm pulling for Frank Miramonte since he's the only American. I do not want to see people coming from overseas and taking American jobs.
I mean, Mr. Trump, Frank, is a fantastic announcer, but I should add Michael Rohn has been here in the States for, you know, 20 years probably. So, I mean, isn't he an American?
We'll see how Mr. Rohn's paperwork and see if it's legit. But even if it is, I'll probably kick him out anyways.
Well, Mr. Trump, I know you're busy, and we thank you for your time and wish you the best of luck on the campaign trail. And hopefully we'll have you on again here on the Bet America Radio Network.
Jason, let's hope we can make America and Bet America great again. You see what I did there? Trump 2016.
All right, so that's Donald Trump, the candidate, actually front-running candidate right now for the Republican nomination here in the United States of America. So good to get a little bit of his stances and positions on not only some racing issues, but some people within the sport of racing. So you got to think with Super Tuesday being today, he had a very busy schedule. So we were very thankful for him to fit us in, even if it was only for a couple of minutes. So our thanks to Donald Trump, and we will be back with Kent Rudolph, a longtime television racing personality over at TVG. We'll be joined with by Ken after this short commercial timeout. You are in the barn.
Hey, I'm Chantel Sutherland Cruz and want to tell you all about BetAmerica.com. It's the coolest place to bet on horse racing on over 200 racetracks from America and around the world. New players receive 100% bonus on your first deposit, up to $300. That's the best sign-up bonus available today. It's time to play the Bet America way.
All right, welcome back to the Bet America Radio Network, and we are pleased to go down to beautiful Sacramento, California, and welcome in the co-host of Good Day Sacramento, as well as a longtime host on the TVG Network, Ken Rudolph, joining us. Ken, how are you?
Hey, I'm fantastic, man. How are you guys today?
Doing good, man. Ken, and I want to talk a lot about your horse racing career and stuff and with TVG, but I want to ask some stuff about your gig right now, because being on a morning show talk, you know, being a morning talk show host, like I know from doing some morning radio, like the hours got to be just nuts.
Yes. So then you have to go ahead and compound that by the fact that you need to be presentable. So, you know what I mean? You're doing radio, so you can probably get away with coming in with a t-shirt,
jogging shorts and a ball cap, man. You ain't kidding.
Yeah. I need to be suited and booted from head to toe, which I enjoy getting dressed for the show. I really do. It helps me get in the right frame of mind. But it does add some time to the day. But if I complain, then I have to look next to me at my female co-anchors, and they have twice as much time necessary needed to get ready for the show. You have to do hair. You do makeup. Everything has to be ready with your wardrobe. Me, I don't have to worry about hair. And it's really short. I just brush it. And, you know, I guess the expectations for my appearance are not quite as daunting as they are for a female. So it's some work. But I look next to me and I'm like, oh, my goodness, I don't have to do all that. So it's not that bad.
That's almost like senior prom. Like I remember the girls had a whole day of getting ready and doing all their stuff, and like we had to just take a shower and throw the tux on.
Right? It's like the old joke I used to have with my wife before we got married. I'm like, babe, I don't want to know the date. Just tell me the day before, yeah, and I'll be there. Yeah. I don't need to get it ready in preparation and all that nonsense. Just tell me the day before, and I'll be there.
I'm sure she loved that support.
Oh, yeah. She finds that to be oh so hilarious. Well, that's fantastic.
So, like last night, you know, obviously doing a morning talk show host, do you stay up and watch the Oscars? Or because you're surely going to talk about it this morning. Or is it like, you know, the producers do all that and you kind of show up?
Oh, my goodness. We're not at that level. I mean, we're top 20 market, which is great. Mm-hmm. But we're not at that level where we can just walk in and be like, give me the notes. Plus it's a different kind of show. It's a 5.5 hour show that we do.
Oh, wow.
Our show is all about personality. I've always said this, and other people may poo-poo this, but I'm like, the news is just an excuse for us to be silly. We get the headlines out of the way, and then everything else is us being complete knuckleheads and talking about whatever we want to talk about. And so talking about the Academy Awards, and then we do a whole separate, you know, segment on fashion, for the men and for the women, and just all tongue-in-cheek and having fun. So you know you have to watch. So we record everything. So I watched like maybe 2/3 of it last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get up at 2:45 every morning. So I get up at 2:45. And this morning I kind of watched on fast forward.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm watching just to hear what Chris is saying, Chris Rock, the host in between presenters. And I'm watching a little bit of speeches that I can get some kind of body language while I'm watching in fast forward that something compelling might be happening. You know, I'll stop it. But for the most part, I'm kind of just skimming through to make sure I get the important things. And then when I come in, you know, during the course of a conversation with our producers and co-anchors, you'll start to realize if there was something important that you missed.
Now, I know you had a TV background before starting with TVG, doing sports and stuff in Sacramento. I got to imagine TV has changed, especially like the kind of shows you guys do, has changed so much with social media now.
You know, the show is still the same, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I started on this show, Good Day. It was called Good Day Sacramento back then, but now we're on in Sacramento and in San Francisco, and we're live streaming over the web around the world. So we're just Good Day.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's the only thing that changed are things like that. The titles, we have a much more corporate influence now because CBS owns us. So we have to get waivers for all the stupid things we do on the air, all the hijinks, the jumping off of things, the dropping things off of the buildings. It's not like we used to do. So in that way, it's changed. But the stuff that we do still seems to resonate. So in social media, you know, I don't know. It's really weird. I guess for us, we've had some situations in the past couple of years where we've gone viral for negative things because of our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in that sense, yeah, social media has really changed it quite a bit because things will happen that used to be just moments that you kept around town, and now somebody in Australia is writing your nasty email.
Yeah.
So that changes things considerably, yeah. But, you know, the stuff that we do, I think that worked back in 96 when we started the show, 95, still works today.
Ken Rudolph joining us. And Ken, I wanted to ask you a little bit about when you were first getting started with TVG. How did you hear about that job? Because you were one of the first guys there, so obviously the network hadn't launched yet. And did you have a racing background, or was it just something from the broadcasting point of view that interested you?
Yes, just the broadcasting point of view. It was an absolute challenge where I had no idea what it was supposed to be about, what they wanted from me. They just said the absolute right thing to me. They said, you get to be yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rare you're going to find a television entity that's going to pay you to be yourself. And it was a situation where I'd been obviously a sportscaster in Sacramento and in Los Angeles. I was in Orange County at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd also done news and entertainment, and I was actually working at that particular time with Groundlings, the improv, comedy improv. And so, and I think maybe that coupled with maybe some movies or television appearances, those things gave me a kind of a well-rounded, I think, basis or foundation for hosting that show. And they just wanted someone to be engaging and to learn the sport on the air and to entice viewers to do the same thing that I was doing at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But their thought was you have to have the journalism background, which I had. I'd already been an anchor for quite some time and a reporter, so I knew a little bit, just a tiny bit. And so that would help. But it was really just one of those things where TVG wanted to be different. You know, they wanted to have a completely different approach to covering horse racing, and they just wanted to find different personalities to do that. And I just happened to fit in whatever slot they were trying to fill. I happened to fit, and I just loved it because it was a challenge. I had no idea what was going to happen.
What was the vibe like between all the hosts when they were first getting started? Was it pretty, you know, friendly and cordial? Was it goofy? What was it like back then?
Everything, you know, I love that people are people. It's mm-hmm. like no matter where you go, it doesn't matter. I'm pretty sure it's the same environment if you're meeting with the Joint Chiefs of Staff for the president. You know what I mean? I imagine the same things happen. And here's what happens. We're all there. We've all come from all these different corners of the world. From England, from Australia, from Miami, from New York, from Kentucky, from Minnesota, from Sacramento, from Dallas. And so here we are in Los Angeles together. We have no idea what's going to happen, but we know it's a chance to have some fun. And so most of us are cool. Like, hey, how you doing? But Jason, you ever been in a room with somebody and you can feel the vibe of another like alpha male type thing?
Yeah.
You ever been around?
Sure. I've been around other announcers.
You know what I mean? And I'm not that guy, but yeah. I mean, my wife keeps telling me, you are that when you walk in the room. But I'm like, nah, I'm super cool. Everybody wants to talk to me. I'll talk to anybody.
Uh-huh.
So, but I still felt this weird thing, right? And so I'm looking over and there's this guy, he's just looking at me. And I'm like, oh, that's the other guy that's supposed to be the host. So I go over and I meet him. And we have like a weird, competitive, but likable tension immediately. Like, it's weird. We like each other, but we're competitive from the first second that we meet each other. And that guy is Chris Harrison, who is the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
So he started TVG with all of us. He and I shared an office together, shared an agent. And but I remember when I first got there, I remember meeting him, and we both, I still remember that tension, that competitive tension that we had. And we both had a very similar background. And we were very similar in what we, you know, the way we approached our job. And that's the one thing that always stuck out to me from the very first time that we all got together.
One thing I'm curious about, racing has, you know, a fairly diverse group of players as far as the horse players. But in broadcasting, it never has been all that diverse. And I was trying to think of any other African-American analysts or announcers in racing, and I couldn't think of any. Was that something you were aware of when you first got involved in the sport? Was that ever an issue for you at TVG?
I was aware of it, absolutely. I mean, that's part of what I meant by the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
When I say I took it because of the challenge, meaning I had no idea what was going to happen, and I looked forward to that. And I didn't really think of that, you know, the diversity part of it. I mean, I knew that was an aspect of it, and I knew that was going to be part of what certain people might use to cloud their judgment of me, and I understood that. But I really, that's part of the motivation to me. I'm like, well, it doesn't matter what you think. I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do the best that I possibly can and be the best I possibly can every day. And I'm going to try to outsmart this thing. And that was my whole challenge, was it's a whole new language, like learning Spanish. You know what I mean? Learning the ins and outs of horse racing and the formula and everything. I mean, I actually understand it now better than because I've been away from it for a little while, but mm-hmm. I was like swimming in it. And I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what does all of this mean for so many years? But that was part of it for me. It was so elusive, and I was like always chasing it, trying to get to the heart of it. But the thing about horse racing that I loved through the journey was that there were certain things, because it is based on science. It is based on data. And you could like hang your hat on certain things. And there are a lot of handicappers who would hang their hat on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually, that's how they made their way. And I understood it. I'm like, there's something in here for everybody. So it was, you know, the lack of diversity, yeah, I knew about it. There were times when I felt it. But then I have to say my bosses were pretty awesome at trying to create an environment where I didn't feel like it was something that was holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And that was helpful for me to survive the 12 years that I did that.
Ken Rudolph joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. And I got to think one of the cool things about being a TVG host is getting to travel and cover big events. What were some of your best on-the-road memories from your time there?
Man, I have great memories on the road. I had some trips that were disasters. But, you know, when I talk to guys like Todd and Maddie, and when I talk to Gary Steven, I just talked to Gary just a while back, and we talk about our trips to Barbados. And that was probably the best time I ever had. Was I went to Barbados
for the Gold Cup, right?
Barbados Gold Cup. And they're it's just amazing what they do down there. The people are fantastic, but the tourism board down there, they paid us to go down there. I mean, they paid for the trip.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean? Like, they took care of everything. And it was just amazing, the hospitality. And so the first year I went, and it was pretty modest, and I was with Simon Bray, who knows everything and everybody and has been everywhere. And Simon and I just had a great time, and I just loved taking in that spectacle. But the second year, Gary Stevens was my co-anchor that year, and they were having a special party for Gary Stevens
mm-hmm.
in Barbados. Man, no, I got very lucky, and I got to cover Hollywood Entertainment for like 10 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been to parties and stuff. Man, this was like one of the coolest things I've ever seen, just this billionaire throwing this massive party at an estate and a golf course for Gary Stevens. And it was we had the best week ever. Every day it was like a party for him. And we just hung out together, and that's probably the best trip I ever had. But also, you know, going to New York was really fun every year, and really going to, I know it's a horrible place, but going to Shakopee, Minnesota with Matt Carruthers every summer was awesome.
Yeah, because he's the king there, right?
Yes, and Maddie's my dude, right? So to be able to go back with the place that he's from, and one thing I really loved about it was, and you know this, what the people at the track are like, mm-hmm. the people that work in the simulcast, or the people that work in the announcing group, it's all the same people pretty much.
Yeah.
Racing secretary, most people doing like six jobs. and you've done this, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you guys are doing all the track announcer. You're also the handicapper. You're also doing the showdown in the paddock. And so, but being able to hang around that for like 2 days and see these people, and this is what they do, man. I'm just a guy doing a show because they're paying me. But they love this. This is what they do. And I just loved hanging out with them. It was so much fun and just really gave me great insight into it. Just another way of life.
Mm-hmm.
Some good people.
Ken Rudolph joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. You mentioned earlier Chris Harrison and your agent. Did you ever tell your agent, hey, man, give me one of them national syndicated big primetime shows?
Nope. No, never. That's not my thing. No. Ever. That's never been my thing. I don't care for any of that reality type thing. But I distinctly remember when he told me that he got the job, because when he got that job, I was working. We were both still doing TVG,
mm-hmm.
and we also had side jobs. So that's the beautiful thing about Los Angeles, is you can get your side hustle on,
oh, yeah.
and they encourage it. They encourage it. So he and I have TVG in the mornings, and in the afternoon, he's going to shoot Bachelor, and then I go over to the Fox movie lot and shoot the Best Damn Sports Show, period.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're comparing notes and coming back about our experiences dealing with the production and stuff like that. But I distinctly remember us being just really cool with each other. And I remember saying to him, I was like, dude, this is the jackpot. Like, you just hit the show. I'm only on like Fox Sports. That's cool. But
yeah.
you just hit the show. You're on ABC. Do your thing. Do your thing. And good for him, man. He has totally rocked that. That is not my thing, though. I could never do that and be comfortable.
Well, I know a number of the parts you did in movies and stuff were as a news and broadcast. The one I remember was Bruce Almighty. Did you kind of seek out roles like that just because it was kind of your milieu as far as jobs?
Yes and no. I have an agent, bless their hearts, they're freaking awesome, and KLA, it's Ken Leonard and Associates, and they're really good people. And Karen Wang Lavelle is this lady who found me when I was just starting out in 1996. So when they bring you to Los Angeles, they have a kind of a full service agency. And in addition to taking care of what you want to do as a host and an anchor, they also have a division that does movies and another division that does commercials. So anyway, they just kind of send your tape out there, blah, blah, blah. And then they call you in to audition for stuff. And at first I wasn't really into that sort of thing because I felt like it was going to be a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how the industry works, at least on this level. You can do these things. Like I said, your side hustle is encouraged in Los Angeles. So working at TVG, I also have a contract with Fox Sports, and then these movies and TV shows come along.
Mm-hmm.
And no one cares as long as you can find time in the day to do it.
Yeah.
And most bosses and producers, because your schedules are pretty loose, you know, I could always go to my boss at TVG and say, hey, can I be off on Wednesday? It's like, what's going on? I want to shoot this thing. Oh, okay, that's fine. No problem. They were awesome about it. And your part is so small that you're on set for, you know, for a show, for a movie like Bruce Almighty, walking on the set to wardrobe, makeup, shooting and done. I'm not kidding. It took me an hour and 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. As opposed to, and that's fantastic. I was like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And they pay a flat rate, you know, because I have an agent, they have to pay a certain rate. So you're making a good chunk of money for just an hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah.
That's great, as opposed to I shot in the movie Moneyball,
mm-hmm.
and I was there for 13 hours, and I didn't even have any lines.
Same one-day pay?
Yeah, they still have to pay me my rate, but I'm like, why do you guys, I don't really need to do this, I'm cool either way, but can we get this over with? I'm like, and I have to say, it's so silly, but everyone's there for 13 hours, not just me. You know, everyone's there sitting around. So the scene I'm doing, I'm talking to Chris Pratt, the actor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing, I forgot the name of the first baseman for the A's that year. I want to say Hatterfield or something of that nature.
Hatterberg, Scott Hatterberg.
Thank you so much. Thank you for knowing your sports, JB.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So he's playing Hattiesburg on that year of the Oakland A's. They win like 21 in a row and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, our job, my job is to interview him in the locker room. And so we're sitting there, and it literally takes 13 hours to set, light, and rehearse and do our scene. And our scene's just the big craziness in the clubhouse and the press conferences going on. So I'm getting super impatient. But that dude is so relaxed. He's not Chris Pratt yet, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Years ago.
This is pre-Guardians of the Galaxy.
Jurassic Park and all that stuff, and Guardians and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's just loose and funny, and we're just talking about stupid stuff and music. And we both play guitar, so we're goofing off about that. And it's not really intimate. Like, I don't know the guy.
Mm-hmm.
If he saw me again, he wouldn't know who the heck I am. But he was just really cool and nice on the set. And every time I wanted to get mad, I kept looking at that guy, and I'm like, this dude is mellow, and he's actually an actor. He's actually important. So I'm just going to be mellow. But yeah, it was not a pleasant shoot.
Ken Rudolph joining us here at the Bet America Radio Network. Ken, I think in the minds and hearts of racing fans, you're kind of always going to be tied to the 2005 Derby winner Giacomo, because you touted him for months leading up to the race, to his big 50-1 upset win. Before that, though, people kind of dismissed your pick of him, like, kind of openly. Like, you got mocked a lot for that before the race, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, why wouldn't you mock me on that? I mean, no, seriously, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Why wouldn't you? I'm not certain why someone didn't just look at me and be like, dude, shut the blank up. But because here I am. I'm this guy who doesn't know anything about horse racing. I barely have been in the game long enough to understand the vernacular. But, and I've got a personality, and maybe the whole racial thing comes into play for some people, because I'm out there and I'm saying crazy stuff and having fun, and sometimes I'm making fun of people that I didn't know I shouldn't be making fun of, or making fun of things in the sport I didn't know I shouldn't be making fun of. And then I'm coming with this horse that, you know, everyone who looks at it has to agree with me. The pedigree is there.
Mm-hmm.
The training is there. The connection's all lined up. But, yeah, everything else, they're like, dude, what are you talking about? And the fact that I'm the one that's touting the horse also leads people to believe, this dude doesn't even know anything. And I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know anything.
It's not Matt Carruthers or Todd or Simon that's
talking. Right,
it,
I yeah. don't. But here's the thing about the sport that this is the one thing that made me mad, Jason. I got really mad and hurt after this happened. So it's like, look, you invited me into this world, and I graciously accepted being a part of this world and learning your sport. I took one aspect of your sport called pedigree, and I studied it and I learned it. And then I went and talked to people who know more than I do, and they told me I was on the right track. And then I went and followed those people for months. And then at the end of it, I was right. Now, isn't that what your sport is all about? That's what your sport's all about. That's what you're trying to sell to the masses. That story right there. So when that happens, how are you not going to just give me my props? Everyone in the industry, I'm sorry, everyone should have been like, yes, that's what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That dude bought into it. He bought into everything. He read everything. He found one little thing, which is what a horse player does. You find this one little thing, and then you look for all these reasons to make it true.
And I
found it.
And I think part of the problem is then they have to admit they were wrong, and that's what they'll never do. They want to say, he got lucky, he's a fluke, because, you know, he did something right. But, I mean, yeah, horse
right.
ego is an amazing part of the entire handicap thing.
I wasn't saying, like, hey, I'm Ken Rudolph's a genius.
No.
I'm saying this makes your game look better, because it's like, see, even this knucklehead who doesn't know anything figured it out.
Yeah.
He figured out one aspect of it. And you can too.
Well, in some ways, that's exactly how poker boomed. Chris Moneymaker was like some weird accountant from to Tennessee, and he goes all the way to win the World Series of Poker. And a lot of people are like, oh, he got lucky. But the entire sport was built off of his win. And granted, a bet in the Derby's not as much like $2 million, but there's something there for sure.
Yeah, I always thought that. I felt like it really should have been embraced where. It's just something where you can be like, hey, it is not this esoteric thing that only a few people understand. It's something that you all can get with, you know, further than just your regular $2 bet once a year at the Kentucky Derby on a horse that you like their name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a science that you can actually grasp.
Yeah.
And so, so when anyone asks me, I'm never hesitant to be like, yeah, it's like awesome. It's like the best thing ever. Like, I'll watch that thing 800 times. I don't care.
Oh man,
freaking great.
The videos on YouTube of the whole behind the scenes thing of you guys, you know, during the race, and I watch it every year before the Kentucky Derby just because it's so great. And my favorite part is Simon, because you can tell you guys are outdoors, so there's probably a glare, and all of a sudden I hear and Simon goes, "Can Giacomo, Giacomo." And the whole mood of the video changed. You stood up and you did what every one of us would do if we had a 50-1 shot. You went crazy.
Aren't you supposed to, right?
Yeah.
It's one of those things where I mean, I do love watching it. I really love the behind the scenes because it does give you a glimpse into how the show was run. And especially on that particular day when you ask, you know, if anyone had been saying, "Are you crazy?" And my tone was very assertive in the sense like, "Hey, when we come back, I don't want to hear about any more favorites.
Yeah.
Talk about the prices that you like." Because I'd always felt like we did too much of that on our show. And we're 6 years in at this point. And I was like, we do too much of that. Like, make a statement. Take a stand on a big day like this. Let's give our viewers something.
Yeah.
Don't just give them the horse that's already won two races. And, you know, I'm like, unless that horse is really just secretariat, I mean, seriously, let's give them something. And so that was me trying to stress that once again. And so I remember the first time I saw that playback, I was like, "Oh my goodness, I look like a jerk." but everyone on the set knew what I meant. Like,
oh, yeah.
Said, right. Like, everyone, the guys knew what I was talking about.
Oh,
the producers in my ear,
completely.
They knew what I was talking about.
My other favorite part of that video is Matt Carruthers reaching out to give you a high five.
Yeah,
and you're so jazzed to do it. You just, what? What? And you left him hanging like nobody's business. And you didn't see him, but it just looks so funny on video.
I know. He never was offended by that at all because he knows how much I love him. But yeah, I've never had that experience because I'm usually super like hyper aware of things that are happening around me. And no one understands. Everyone has you think you're going to be right and then you're not. But then one time you are. And it always has a story. And I saw it the night before, man. I'm not kidding. I was like, this can happen.
Yeah.
I remember I was like, this can happen. Because I just, from a handicapping point of view, because I didn't really look so deep into it, I'm like, I see 8 speed horses in here and the Derby's crazy and these horses don't know what they're doing, so they're going to go.
Yeah.
And I just felt like it was going to line up for them. So when it happens, in that moment, I'm just like, man, it's crazy. I'm staring into the camera and I'm like, yes. Like, I'm gone, man. For like 10, 15 seconds, I am gone. And so I've always felt so bad because that's my dude. He's like one of the coolest guys. And he had to deal with me, you know, mornings where I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm still making handicapping statements and never belittled me ever. He never, ever. Like, tried to make me look bad. He was always gracious on the air. So,
do you still talk?
I always feel bad.
Do you still talk to a lot of the folks from TVG?
Yeah, it's weird. I just talked to, Maddie just called me, what's today? Monday? Maddie called me on Saturday. And now we're playing phone tag.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to Todd about 2 weeks ago. We text a lot, Todd and I.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Joyce and I pretty much tweet back and forth. And, yeah, those are the guys I pretty much on a regular basis and kind of talk to. Those are the guys I kind of hung with all the time.
Yeah.
Simon and all those guys are just, yeah, like Matt and I pretty much hung out every day, and Todd and I, he would talk to, got an argument every day. So we had some contact.
Do you still follow racing a lot?
Yeah, man. I'm crazy. What are you talking about? How do you expect someone to?
In that case, who's the 50-1 on the Derby trail this year?
Oh, dude, that's the thing I don't know. you know, you can't spend 12 years. You know, the job, I was paid to fully immerse myself into the sport. And so once you do a sport like this, it all makes sense, even though it doesn't make sense. But it makes sense. Mm-hmm. So it gets you, man. It gets you. So I'm in. But I changed my whole approach because I feel like, okay, you know, having access to all of this data and all this information year round helped me win one time.
Mm-hmm.
Because every other Derby, dude, I was completely way off. Completely way off. So I'm like, okay, now I'll just do it like maybe in between being a person who works in it and being a novice fan. I'll be the guy in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I know some things. I know some things about trainer trends and jockeys and speed bias, blah, 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 blah. I know some things about reading the the PPs. I know some things about pedigree. But I think I'm going to be like, I'll wait. You know what I mean? Just wait until we're maybe 2 weeks out from the Derby.
Yeah.
And then start paying attention. So then I can kind of take a fresh look at the whole crop and not be, you know, influenced by maybe a horse I like as a two-year-old or something of that nature.
Well, Ken, I really appreciate your time, man. It was great to catch up. I was always a big fan on TVG, so it was when you left, I was a little bummed out, but it sounds like you got a great gig going there in Sacramento, and continued success and health to your family and all that good stuff.
I appreciate it, man. I'm having the best time ever, and I'm still looking for another Giacomo. Always looking. Thanks, man.
All right, Ken Rudolph joining us here on the Bet America Radio Network. We'll be right back after this short timeout.
This is the Bet America Radio Network. You're in the barn with Jason Beam.
All right, so my thanks to Ken Rudolph for joining us here on the program, as well as presidential candidate Donald Trump. You know, when we started the barn just a couple of months ago, next week will be our two-month anniversary. In fact, I think this is show 31 right now we're doing. But, you know, when I started the show, there's no way I would have thought that I'd be talking to, you know, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, and Ken Rudolph, and, you know, folks like that. But it's been a blast, and we really appreciate everybody's support out there. I'm going to be playing a new song parody tomorrow. We actually released it on YouTube a little bit early. So if you want to hear it, just look up Bet America Turf Paradise. But it's my first rap effort, so you have to be gentle on me because I'm not a rap guy. But I think it turned out pretty good, actually. I had the song in my head all weekend, and I think that's the telltale sign of a good song parody. So be sure to look forward to that coming up tomorrow. Again, we'll be previewing the Gotham Stakes as we get a little bit closer to the end of the week. But we always welcome your questions and comments. You can email the show, barn@betamerica.com. You can find me on Twitter at... No, not at Jason Beam anymore. At Beamy Awards, BeamyAwards, or you can find us, Bet America, at Bet America. And those are all sorts of great ways to get in touch with the show. And yeah, that's it. So we're going to put a bow on this episode of The Barn. Again, our thanks to our guests, our thanks to you out there in the podcast land. And we will see you guys tomorrow. Everybody have a fantastic Tuesday. Talk to you later, guys.